Mariner Books and Harper Audio present The Nazis Next Door, How America Became a Safe Haven for Hitler's Men, by Eric Lichtblau, read by David DeVries. For my mother, who taught me to keep asking questions. The wrongs which we seek to condemn and punish have been so calculated, so malignant, and so devastating that civilization cannot tolerate their being ignored because it cannot survive their being repeated. Robert H. Jackson, Nuremberg Prosecutor, 1945. It is all forgotten. It's all over. Jakob Reimer, former Nazi SS officer living outside New York City, 1998. Prologue. A Name from the Past. July 12, 1974, Langley, Virginia. The old man sounded panicked. He was normally so cocksure and crafty, but now, as he related the strange events of the last few weeks, there was the squall of desperation in a voice left raspy by too many Marlboros. He was in trouble, Tom Zubzokov was telling his long-ago friend John Grunz on the other end of the phone line. Exactly why was still not clear. The words were tumbling out so furiously in Zubzokov's thick Slavic accent that Grunz could scarcely follow his helter-skelter story. Crazy refugees from the old country were out to destroy him, the old man was saying. There was something about libelous stories in the newspaper. A hell-bent congresswoman was somehow involved, too. And did Grunz hear his old friend Tom Wright? Did he just say something about Nazi war crimes? Slow down, Grunz urged. Whatever's going on, he said, we can deal with it. The assurances did nothing to calm Zubzokov.
You don't understand. My life is in danger.
Typical Zubzokov. He inevitably seemed to cloak himself in some bit of drama or other. There was always that element of intrigue. He was, as his secret psychological workups had concluded years earlier, a bold and impassioned man, a leader type who can get things done, but volatile and scheming too, a skillful manipulator of people. His outsized, fill-up-the-room personality had defined him for as long as Grunz had known him. But had his old friend, still rambling on the phone about Nazis and government probes, now turned delusional too? The two men, their lives once so tightly intertwined, had lost touch in recent years. Then came the cryptic message that an intermediary had passed along to Grunz just a few days earlier. Someone named Zubzokov was looking for him. He wanted him to call as soon as possible. It sounded urgent. Tom Zubzokov? Looking for him? It had been many years, 15, maybe 20, since they had last spoken. What could he want after all this time? Zubzokov, nothing if not resourceful, had gotten a friend in Congress to find Grunz's unlisted line and get the message to him. That wasn't as simple as it sounded, since Grunz had a way of making himself hard to find. He was, after all, a CIA spy. Zubzokov knew a bit about spying, too. That was how he knew Grunz. Zubzokov had once been a spy himself for the CIA. Not a particularly good one, but a spy nonetheless. Grunz had been his handler in the Middle East 2 decades earlier as they chased intelligence on the Soviets in the crazy Cold War days of the 1950s. Zubzokov's main mission was to recruit Russian emigres and fervent anti-communists, people like him, who might be willing to spy on their former homeland for America. He was always on the verge of turning the next big Russian agent, or so he claimed. It was in the Middle East that Zubzokov had picked up his CIA code name, Nostril, an unflattering allusion to his prominent hooked nose. If he minded the moniker, he never let on. He loved the cloak-and-dagger intrigue of the spy business. He also liked to brandish his agency credentials to friends and acquaintances with a reckless bravado, not a good quality in a spy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?